Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
It's estimated that about 2.7% of children and 2.2% of adults in the United States have autism.
That's a lot of people. So how can the church serve those families?
Yeah, think about it. In a church of 200, at least two children and two adults probably have autism. We had Chris Gordon with us. She had written an article about this. She has two children with autism. They're on the spectrum. And it was just, you know, the awareness issue, just knowing what it is.
Yes.
Is a great first step. And then from that point on, then we can kind of think, okay, well, how can we better serve them? And that was the purpose behind this conversation. It was very enlightening. And as I often say, when you have practical stuff like this, it's theology with handles, so you can really use it. When it comes to autism, I tried to encapsulate what it may involve, but it's kind of a big topic. Could you help us understand exactly what autism is? And then we'll get into the whole, you know, spectrum part of it. You know, there are obviously differing degrees of autism, as I was mentioning and stuff. So what is the official definition of autism anyway?
You know, so like you said, it's a spectrum. So it would be considered now a disability. And for those of us who are outside the spectrum, although I would argue most of us are actually on it in some way.
Amen.
Yes.
We would, right?
And when you start to pay attention, you're like, huh, you know what? I see a little bit of the spectrum in this person. So we would be considered neurotypicals, which is outside of what we would think about in terms of autism, that it's called the autism spectrum disorder, so that those of us who are outside of it would have a differing neurological makeup, so that there is a difference. And I'd have a hard time actually defining it just because of how much of a spectrum I have seen. So it is a disorder. But depending on who you look at, you know, if you start talking about the list of people who we think have autism, it's people like Bill Gates and Albert Einstein and Thomas Jefferson and Mozart. So I don't know.
The
geniuses, I have a hard time with disorder. Yeah.
So a lot
like,
of geniuses.
Do we call that a disorder?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's kind of crazy that way. Yeah. I see what you're saying. And still, that's interesting, classifying it as a disability. And now that I think about it, once you threw out the definition, and I'm really pondering this in real time, I'm thinking that you're right. I bet we know some people who are like that, and we just never put a label on that. Labels can be kind of dangerous sometimes too, though, can't they?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's right. And it is a broad range. I mean, if you go to any of the basic organization, you know, like Autism Speaks, for example, great organization, they'll tell you it's a broad range of conditions that are basically characterized with challenges in social skills. I mean, that's the broad definition. So it has been defined a lot with the challenges, which makes sense. That's part of the way we differentiate people with autism. But when you get to know some people in this class, I mean, if you've ever been to Silicon Valley, the people who live there and the managers there tell me like, oh, there's such a huge population of our workforce here that probably is on the autism spectrum, and they bring these amazing gifts to what they do. So I would never deny that it is a disorder and that they do have a hard time functioning in our society. But man, you put them in the place where they fit and they just shine and they yes. produce and they can do amazing things.
Do we know what causes this?
I don't think we do. I mean, of course, there have been all kinds of things posed, like vaccinations, which is, of course, not true, and things over the years. We do know that it's genetic, but I don't know that we have any kind of specific cause at this point. Maybe one day we will, but not right now.
And also hasn't, I know my daughter was labeled that when she was younger. She's 45 now. Oh, I'm old, but she was labeled that, but it was very specific. And then they changed it to the umbrella. So, I mean, really diagnosis has changed. People probably 70, 80, 100 years ago had it, but they were just the odd duck in town.
Oh,
you know
for
what I
sure,
mean?
For sure. Yes. And there, you know, there are of course, there were people hundreds of years ago who had it, and that we didn't have this diagnosis. We didn't have these categories, you know, that we didn't have any of that. But of course, people have existed with this disorder forever. We think, you know, and you can read a little bit about the history. There are books about, there's a great book called Neurotribes that will tell you about the history and some of the individuals that we do know about. It's fascinating.
You know what I saw? A teaching by I can't think of her name now. You know, she has her master's in animal husbandry. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh,
Temple Grandin. Yes.
Yep.
She did a speech, and she just, in the very beginning, put up a picture of Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night. And she said, by the way, that is how autistic people see the stars. And that's all she said about it, and then moved on to the other things. But I thought,
that's interesting.
That makes sense why he had such a difficult time relating in life.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and if you think about, you know, it's like you put, like I said, you put them in one situation, and they just shine. It's almost like you open a door. You know, I've seen this happen with multiple people. They just walk into the situation that where they fit, you know, where the normal environmental factors that can make things so difficult are taken away, and they're put in a place where their talents shine. And it's like you get a different person. It's amazing. But you put them in a, for example, like a loud church service where the music is loud and you have to sit down and be quiet, and there are lots of things coming at them and everybody's supposed to chit chat. That's a very difficult place. It can be a very difficult place for somebody on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
So just, I mean, it depends on so many things.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
We want to reach out to these folks with autism and their families with great love, with the love of Jesus. We're going to get to the nuts and bolts of this in a moment. But I wanted to ask you about having an autistic child. And we were discussing the fact of they do struggle in some of these other areas, you know, verbal cues, being in large groups, you know, that goes on and on. But once they find their sweet spot, then they just fly. It's like they're a genius. Mm-hmm. How do we find their sweet spot as moms and dads?
Right. That's the million-dollar question, right? Yeah, and you have to remember that it is a spectrum. And so I actually have two autistic children, and one of them is what we would call low support, or we used to call them high functioning. The words change all the time, so I have trouble keeping up. But so high IQ is currently a freshman in college, living independently, you know, going to class, loves statistics. I mean, will call me walking home from a statistics class and say, oh my gosh, mama, I love statistics. He's kind of found
he wants to share with you. That's great.
He's found what makes sense to him, you know. Math has so many rules. But then I have another child who happens to be an adopted child, way lower IQ, also verbal, also in the autism spectrum, who is in a whole school that is for special needs children, also struggles with a lot of all kinds of social cues, but also some violence, can be aggressive. And so, you know, so those are two extremely different people with different abilities. So I think part of it is just like you would any other child. You know, you may have adopted them, they may have grown inside of you, but no matter who they are, it's going to take you years to figure out who they really are. And it's the same with these kids is, you know, they got to try a bunch of stuff, put them in a bunch of different environments, and help them figure out as they grow, as you would any kid, where do they fit? You know, it's just that these kids aren't necessarily the ones who you're going to put them on the soccer field and walk through the middle school, and they're just going to fit like some kids, you know, just sort of find their groove a little bit more quickly. These kids may be a little more specialized. It may take a little longer. They may need some extra help to kind of figure out what is their groove, what are they good at, because it may be harder for them, you know. And if you think about it, our schools especially are made for neurotypical kids, which makes sense. Mm. That's the majority. Sure. They're made for kids who do well sitting in a classroom with 20 kids and, you know, probably don't have ADD, attention deficit disorder, and can pay attention to a teacher and do okay in a loud hallway, although it may be lousy, you know.
Yeah.
And so these kids, it may take a little longer. You may have to take them away from some of the things that are more difficult to them to help them figure out what their sweet spot is.
Yeah.
So I think it's trial and error. It's finding them the resources they need. They may need extra help at school. It just may take longer.
Okay, so let's talk about the local church and how we can better serve the families who are touched by autism in some way. Where do we even begin?
Yeah, I think we have to start by asking, because what happens when you don't, it are a variety of things. One, we assume that we know what a kid needs or even an adult needs. And two, people, you know, I can tell you from my own family, I don't want to inconvenience other people. I know they don't necessarily understand what it's like to have a child like mine. And so we just sort of isolate and end up in our corner. So I think we have to ask, and we as the church need to be the initiator. Just like for anything else, we don't just sit back and wait and say like, well, you all have to figure it out, whoever you are, if you look different than me or said, no, we're the ones who need to be hospitable. So we need to make it clear. And that can be in a bunch of ways. It can be in a bulletin and announcements and emails, whatever it is, that, hey, we are a hospitable place for all kinds of people. And that may include people with autism or on the spectrum who need different things. We need to communicate that. And a lot of times parents are looking, I have looked before, if you're looking for a church, one of the things we're looking for is there any mention of disability? Is there anybody who I can contact? Is there an email on your website? Is there any sort of special needs ministry? Is there somebody there who, when I start to explain my child, is going to understand and have some of the same language, or at least be willing to be taught and become a hospitable place? That's one of the things we're looking for.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the whole idea of the sweet spot for autistic folks, I'm thinking being able to plug them in the right ministry, the right place, is key. Like, for instance, you mentioned statistics. What if they're really like a genius with numbers? Can't they work with the church's finances in some way? That might be an idea.
Sure. Yeah. And I know an adult man who, he's no longer with us, but when he was, he worked on the finances for his church for years because it was a comfortable place for him. He wanted to serve. He's never going to be the greeter. He didn't want to be an elder. That's not what he's good at. But man, you put the finances in his hands, and he served his church very well for years. And we have to remember, you know, like, yes, there are those people who are gonna kind of the savants who you put them in their place and it's gonna be amazing. But there are also the kids who show up. They may be nonverbal. You may never, you know, like, figure out exactly what their potential is. But you have to think about, you know, when Jesus talks over and over, I think so much about, even in the Old Testament, you know, who are the widows? Who are the foreigners that we're supposed to be serving? Jesus talks about them, the least of these. And if these are not the least of these nonverbal kids, I don't know who are. So I often think, you know, if Jesus walked into one of our churches, that he would go straight to the special needs Sunday school classroom. I think he would just sit down on the floor with them, you know?
I totally see that. That's perfect. Yeah. So, and we say we follow Jesus, right? So we should be doing that as well. I think what you've given us, Chris, this morning is a really good challenge. Maybe it's an awareness issue for many folks. It's not something that's like, okay, well, we're purposely ignoring these folks. Maybe it's just we weren't even aware that
absolutely
that they are there, and that's the last thing you want them to feel is, well, first of all, that they're not welcome, but as a part of that, we don't want them to feel like they're invisible.
Right. That's right, because that's the last thing that Jesus would do, right? And we also, for those who have enough social awareness to know that they're different, we don't want them to feel like they're intruding or like they're not welcome. Which, you know, if you think about it, if you're speaking to the majority in a church, which we usually are, which totally makes sense, and you're a person who walks in with autism into a loud room, like we've talked about, where chit chat is sort of like what reigns as king, which is great. But if you have trouble with that kind of noise, or with a bunch of people with small talk, which a lot of times people on the spectrum do have a lot of trouble, you know, that can be a very inhospitable place, and no one means for it to be. It's just this unacknowledged sort of, well, this is what's expected. And so if I have to stand in the back for a little bit, or if I don't know how to make small talk, I'm sort of the outsider. So even just mentioning, you know what, if you need to stand a little bit in the back, or like if the noise in this room gets too much, here's a room that you're free to go to, kids, adults, anybody. That's really all you have to say, to just make sure that they want to know they're not being judged. They want to know that they're welcome. And that's not really hard to do for a lot of, especially autistic adults. And as children grow up, to know like, hey, I'm just as valuable as anybody else here, though I may function differently in the world.
Yeah, that's great. This has been an important conversation, Chris, for us to have. And we thank you for walking us through some of these nuances. It's given us good food for thought. As you know, how can I better serve Jesus? How can I better serve the people in my life, the people in my church? And whenever we have these conversations, it's like theology that, I don't know, the rubber meets the road. It's like theology with handles. I love that. Thank you.
That's
for being
right.
Thank you so much for being with us. Many blessings to you.
Thanks for having
thank
me.
You.
Thanks for listening to Curtain Cape Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.